You are not enough. You are afraid. You are not a good spouse. You are not a good kid. You do not have patience. You do not have self-control. You have no hope. Question this morning is, do you trust God? And before we get into that, I want to say good morning. Good morning. I slept the hardest that I have ever slept after yesterday. We had a U-Haul, 26-foot U-Haul filled with all kinds of things, from baby stuff that's not even here yet to our baby that's here, to my wife's stuff, to my stuff, to outside stuff. Took me about 3 days, my wife and I and a couple youth kiddos, to pack that U-Haul, and it was unloaded in under 30 minutes. As we're unloading the U-Haul, I come inside. Our bed is built. My daughter's bed is built. There's books on the shelves. There's clothes in my closet. Dishes in the cabinets, not where they go, but we'll fix it. We haven't been here 24 hours. And I think I've cried more in the last 24 hours because of the West Irwin congregation than I have in a long time. Do you trust God? I was joking with Cody. I don't know whose idea it was to get the youth minister who's never been here, who's never preached here, who just got hired here. Let's give him his first Sunday morning. We'll throw him right in the fire. I told Cody, I said, man, we could really have an interesting sermon this morning, and y'all would have no idea. God is good. God is so good. Let's pray. God, we love you. God, we're grateful for the day. God, the opportunities that we have to worship you, to sing songs of praise to you. God, to give you all the glory. God, we know we sin, we know we mess up, we know we have temptations and obstacles and struggles in our life. God, we pray for strength, we pray for confidence. God, to be able to push through all of our obstacles, to be able to look solely to you for guidance. God, I'm thankful. God, the blessings you give us on a daily basis, from the air we breathe to the clothes we wear. God, we know it all comes from you and you alone. God, I pray for our hearts at this time as we open your word to be able to put aside distractions, to be able to focus solely on what you want us to hear, God, through your word. God, once again, we love you. We know that you love us. In Jesus' name that we pray, amen. For those visiting, I'm not your normal preacher, okay? It's been evident. I am new here. But those of you that are visiting, we're glad that you're here. Technically, you're in the same boat as me. This is our first Sunday. But I hope that you stick around, let us hug your neck, get to know you a little bit better, and just spend some time, and I hope that you're able to come back. But my name is Southern Cates, my wife Riley, our daughter Mabry, and our son Weston is due in June. Talking with Bill, this is going to be kind of a little bit of get to know Riley and I, but also I want to spend time in the Word, because that's what it's about. So Riley and I, I'm 24, I'm not going to say her age, I know, I learned my lesson. I grew up in Oklahoma. I was born in Muskogee, so I'm an Okie from Muskogee, those of you that know, and grew up in Oklahoma kind of all over. My dad was a minister. He had a background in construction, and with ministry, we kind of moved around a lot. And so we'd be at different churches or a different job. Riley's family kind of did a lot of moving around as well. But how it goes, we all ended up in Durant, Oklahoma at the same time. I went there my junior year of high school. We moved there. I was going to go to Southeastern Oklahoma State University, the college there. And I thought that I was getting away from mom and dad. I'm going to apply to this college, and I'm going to get a little bit, or 2 or 3 hours away from mom and dad. And then come to find out, they took the job in Durant in the same town. So we all got to live together, and I stayed at home through college, which saves money. High schoolers, that's the way to do it. But Riley's family, they moved to Durant a little bit after we did. And so they have a campus ministry there at Southeastern. And we met there, and there's about 30, 40 kids. We ended up just kind of hanging out. We had some mutual friends, of course, all in the ministry building, spending time together at Devos or games or different things. And so that's how we met. I kind of trapped her. I talked to the youth this morning a little bit about it. But our first date, I guess, I asked her to go on a Bible study with me. How could she say no to that? Hey, you want to study the Bible? And if she says no, then you're like, that's kind of already a red flag. She said yes. We went to Brahms, had a Bible study, got ice cream, and I had a Bible study, and the rest is kind of history. But I went to Southeastern. My degree is in education, and so I was going to go be a teacher. Dad was a preacher. I didn't really want to go that route, so education was the route that I went, got a degree in education, got a job in Van Alstine, Texas. Oklahoma education's not too shabby, but Texas is a little better. And so for just getting married, just starting out, it was easy to drive 45 minutes across into Texas and teach. And so she got a teaching job as well, so we rode together on mornings and about 45 minutes on the way down here and then 45 minutes on the way back. And so we did that. We lived in Oklahoma, and it was just getting kind of rough. And so the church in Van Alstine, we had visited churches in the area a few times trying to figure out, hey, I'm tired of driving back and forth. We want to move here, but let's find a church home and a good place to be. So from there, the Van Alstine Church, one of the kindergarten teachers at the school that I was teaching at, she was on the committee. They were searching for a youth minister, and she said, hey, would you be interested? And I was just recently married. I had just recently graduated college. I had $0 to my name. I had zero time on my hands, trying to, you know, get established in teaching, just married, trying to spend time with my wife. And then I said no. I said, I can't. I would love to, but I just can't put that time into it as much as is needed into it. And so from there, she just kind of kept pestering, kept pestering, kept pestering. I'll give you her name and number if you want it, for that's the reason I'm up here this morning, depending on how the sermon goes. So she just kind of kept, hey, would you want to? Hey, would you want to? So finally, you know, I would love to. Let's make it work. I talked with Riley. We figured it out. We kind of got a goal. We got a game plan. Took on a part-time youth ministry job. Those of you that have ever helped with ministry in some way or fashion know that it is not a part-time job, whether the title says it or not. And so full-time teaching, I was in education, I was in the classroom all day, and then I'd be in a devotional or a game or some kind of youth ministry, something or another in the evening, and then I'd try to come home and watch a movie with Riley and I, or, you know, just spend some time together. And then along comes Mabry, and my time is already empty. Something's got to give. So at the end of the day, the decision was easy. I said, I could be teaching writing and English for the next 20 years, or we could be in ministry for the next 20 years. Easy decision. So started full-time with the Van Alstine Church of Christ, doing youth ministry there. It'll be 3 years around this summer. Part-time, full-time, kind of all flows together. I have enjoyed every minute of it. I have enjoyed every tear, every laugh, every funny memory. We were talking about some funny memories over in the family building this morning. But before we get too far into it, you see the question, do you trust God? And I'm going to try to pair some personal to learn more about Riley and I while also diving into his word. But we know the verses, you know, trust in the Lord, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways he'll make your path straight. We've memorized these verses about trusting God. Then along comes some kind of trouble. Along comes some kind of obstacle. And it really makes us ask, do we trust God? Your immediate answer is usually yes. Yes, I trust God with everything that I am. Y'all flip over to, we're going to be, I think I might have it on the screen, Matthew 6. It's the down arrow, or Matthew 8. Matthew, I got to get that down. It's the down arrow, not up. We'll go to Matthew 6, and we'll jump over to Matthew 8. Matthew 6 and verse 25. Hindsight is always 20/20, right? And everything that I've done, and every obstacle that I've had, I've always looked back and I've said, man, God, you were working there. But then when I'm here in the moment on March 2nd, 2025, I say, God, hey, I'm struggling. Matthew 6, verse 25. We'll read a little bit. For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? 26. Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more worthy than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? Verse 28. Why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. Do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, did not clothe himself like one of these. Verse 30. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? We're going to come back to that in a second. But verse 31, do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. In all of the struggles that Riley and I have gone through, or we are driving back and forth, we have $0 in our budget, and I'm trying to get just enough gas money to get down to Van Alstine so we can teach for the day, and just enough gas money to get home. I had a truck. I sold it. I hate it. To this day, I still talk about it. I complain about it. Now I drive a little Kia car that gets 40 miles to the gallon, which I'm grateful for. But sometimes you need a truck, you know? When the bill comes out and we look at our bank account, when you find out you're having a kid, and once again, you look at your bank account. When an argument is sometimes more than an argument. Do we trust God? Flip over to Matthew 6, or Matthew 8 now. That's on the screen. Matthew 8, and I'll be in verse 23. When he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. Behold, there arose a great storm in the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he himself was asleep. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, save us, Lord, we are perishing. I feel like these guys knew how to be on a boat. When they were fishermen, when that's kind of the main trade kind of in this area. They'd been on the water before. They'd fished. They had been in storms before. They knew what the clouds and the waves and all that looked like. But apparently this storm was a doozy, enough to wake up Jesus and say, save us, Lord. But also the trust that, hey, save us, Lord. We know that you're all powerful. We know that you can calm this storm. So I'm going to go wake you up because we're kind of afraid right now. But then in verse 26, he says, why are you afraid? Then he uses the same little section that we just read in Matthew 6. You men of little faith. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. And the men marveled, saying, what kind of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? God's saying, why are you afraid, Southern? All of these things are going on. You're trying to figure out who you are as a married couple, who you are as a dad, who you are as a youth minister. And then all these other factors start to play into it. Why are you afraid? In five verses, God shows, or Jesus shows how in control he really is. Whole new job. Whole new town. Whole new church family. Whole new youth group. Whole new baby. It's like we're starting all over. Who is in your boat? Comparing my faith to the disciples, and the disciples, they're going to knock it out of the park. They walked with Jesus. They knew Jesus on a personal level. The time spent with Jesus is more than Southern's ever spent with Jesus. And Jesus says, why are you afraid? All these things going on. Why are you afraid? I'm right here. And then we say, down arrow. He's in the boat with us. Southern, he's in your boat. The question of, do you trust God? I hope you ask yourself. I hope you open up your heart, you open up your mind, you think and you really start to say, hey, do I trust God? In every single situation that I have been in, he has been right there. Whether that's through somebody else, whether that's through his word, whether that's through communication with him. And then they say, Southern, you're so afraid and I'm stressed out and I'm crying and I'm worried and I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what it's going to look like. This U-Haul sucks to pack it by myself. Man, it's going to suck even more trying to unload it by myself. God says, I'm right there in the boat. And you got a whole family in here in the boat with you. And that U-Haul, you're so worried about that U-Haul. We're going to take 30 minutes. We're going to knock it out of the park. Southern, that son that you don't know is not born yet. The weight that comes of not only being a dad, but having a son. Fellas, you know what I'm talking about. When I found out it was a girl, it was like, yes, my job's not as hard. She's going to spend time with Mom and Gigi. Get all the, she's wearing sparkly shoes Gigi got for her. Hey, that's not mine, okay? I don't do that. And they say, you know what? We find out it's a son. We did a whole gender reveal. It was great. It's like, man, I'm having a son. I'm excited. And then the weight really starts to sink in. It's my one son. It's my only son. Man, I'd do anything for him. Then you apply that to Scripture, and he says, this is my one and only son, whom I love. I would do anything for him, including putting him on a cross for me. Change. Hebrews 13, 8. If y'all want to flip over, we'll read a little bit in Hebrews 13. What is trust, Southern? Talking about trusting God. Trust is more than a feeling. Trust is a choice. My daughter, she's 18 months old. She trusts. She trusts more than I think I realized when I started talking about it. She's 18 months old. She trusts that when she says, bites, Dad, she trusts that I'm going to give her bites. She says, drink or juice or milk, Dad. Hey, I'm going to get that for her. She trusts that. She knows that. That's what it's kind of been established as. I provide for her. She knows that I provide for her. She trusts that I'm going to provide for her, me and her mom. And on the flip side, she also trusts that if she goes too far past what I say or what she knows that she's supposed to do. Listen, 18 months old, they're smart. They're really smart. We'll have our little driveway at our other house, old house, because we're here now. Yahoo! Okay. We had our driveway, and our driveway went out in the church parking lot, which we would walk to church. And so we made that walk multiple times during the week, but she knew that if Mom and Dad wasn't there, she knew that she cannot go past a certain limit. And she would get, if this is that line, she would get about right here. And then she'd turn around. She's like, hi, Dad. I'm right here. Because she knew that's where the line was. She trusted that if she crossed that line, that if she went and said, hey, I'm going to cross this, what's going to happen? Well, then in here comes the disciplinarian, right? Oh, I'm going to get you. She trusts that she's going to get disciplined if she crosses the line. And if that doesn't relate to my life, even as an 18-month-old, I don't know what else will. Hebrews 13:8. We're going to start a little bit before that. Let's just start in verse 1. I like to read. Let love of the brethren continue. Verse 2, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves are also in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all. Let the marriage bed be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Verse 5, let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Amen to that one. Verse 6, that we can confidently say, man, God, I trust you. Verse 6, that we may confidently say that the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Then in verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, yes, and forever. Amen. Meaning it doesn't matter that what's going on, Southern, when you're worried and you're stressed about all these things and you have the same worries that I do, or different worries or different anxieties or different obstacles or different sins, and the bill doesn't come through and somebody's in the hospital and somebody's sick and somebody says the word cancer and you're like, hold on, God, I'm not ready for that yet. Do we trust God? Just as there's negatives, there's positives. Apparently, it's good news that you hired a youth minister. Thanks. How about hiring a minister? How about Bill being here this Sunday morning? When we came to visit for the first time, how about the budget, the missions budget? The awesome, wonderful God that we serve is working in my life, in my family's life, in the West Irwin Church of Christ life, to where there was 30 plus, I didn't even get a head count, maybe around 30, maybe more, yesterday, trying to help us move in on a random Saturday. In our lives, we're called to have faith. In our lives, we're called to trust. I trust my wife. She knows me better than anybody ever will. But also, I trust my God. And oftentimes, we don't show it enough. Oftentimes, we don't put control into his hands, where we say, I want to hold on to this, especially me, I'm real bad about it. I want to control the things that sometimes I can't even control. I want to control X, Y, Z, and then God's like, hey, I'm right here. I'm in your boat. This lesson is kind of more of an introduction to who we are, but also I hope it's a challenge. As an encouragement to keep your trust in him. All these wonderful things going on. Man, it sounds like God's not working. It sounds like God's not evident here. It sounds like God is some far away place. No. God's right here. And oftentimes I don't put myself in situations where I allow myself to see how good he's working. to see the good that he is doing. And it's like, man, I got shades on or something. I got blinders on. I enjoy challenges. I enjoy competition. Once again, I was talking with the kids this morning in the family building. If there's a card game or some kind of outside game, a sport, an activity, I would love to beat somebody in it, okay? I would. Whether that's, you know, holding an extra cards in my sleeve or something, but if you gave me an instrument, I wouldn't know which way to hold it. Which you give me a trumpet, I'm going to probably blow in the big end at the end. That's not my expertise. I trust that I can't do that. I trust that I cannot play a trumpet right now. I know that. Obviously, with work and practice, we can go through that and we can try to learn these things. There are things in your life that you trust that you cannot do. And I hope that living a sinful life is one of them. I hope that you trust and that you know if I live this sinful life and I get right here, I say, Hey, God, I know you said don't do this. I hope we can trust and we can know. What comes with that? But on the flip side, the good things. I hope and trust that each and every single one of you know that when your life is full of love and when your life is full of example and when your life is full of patience and self-control and love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We fill our lives with those things and we say, God, I'm going to be an example. I'm going to evangelize. I'm going to do all of these good things. That we don't have to look back because God's right here with us. Because all of those things come from him. I do enjoy challenges. I like challenges for the week, not W-E-E-K, but a challenge for the week because I am weak. I am a sinner. I don't know what I'm doing. Apparently y'all don't either because you're putting me up here for the first time on my first Sunday. See, and then it'll be like 17 years from now. And then I'm like, man, Bill, I haven't preached in a while. And they're like, well, do you remember that one time? Challenge for the week. That includes you. Because there's not a time frame on this. I don't want it to end next Sunday. I don't want it to end the Sunday after that. Find time this week to convey your trust in him. So then what does that look like? How do I say, God, I trust you? We have a direct path of communication with God. And a lot of times that's a one-way street. God is giving and giving and giving and giving and blessing and blessing and blessing. And then it's like, man, when was the last time I prayed? Hold on, let me go check my calendar from last January. God, I trust you. God, I put you in control of my life. God, I want to live, God, I want to work for you in the kingdom. It's one thing to know I trust God, but it's another to say, God, I trust you. There's a difference to me. There's a difference in saying, God, I trust you, and not saying it verbally. Because the moment that I acknowledge that I trust God, then hopefully some things in my life will begin to change. Because the second part of the challenge is to live it. Because if we're trusting God, I hope that the negatives in your life, the sinful things in your life, are hopefully you're trying to get help to get out of. I hope if you say, God, I trust you, that you're allowing yourself to be used in a daily basis, whether that's at Brookshire. There's a Brookshire's like right down my house. I love it. Okay? All we had before was Walmart and like Brookshire's. I don't know. Okay, there's a grocery battle going on. It's kind of like Pepsi and Coke. Okay? Brookshire's better than Walmart, right? Brookshire's right next to it. I hope when you're at Brookshire's or you're at Walmart, for those that go to Walmart, or wherever you go, we went to Freebirds last night for dinner. When you're at Freebirds, you say, I want to be an example for him. I want to be an example to those in my personal life on a daily basis, at my workplace, at my school, at my job, at wherever I'm at. God, I trust you. Use me. God puts a lot of trust in you. God could snap his fingers and say, hey, all of us are in heaven. It's not what he did. God said, I'm going to put Southern and Tyler, Texas. I'm going to put Wade in Tyler, Texas. I'm going to put Cody in Tyler, Texas. I don't know all of your names, but if I did, I'd go through every single one of them. He says, I'm going to put you here in Tyler, Texas to be a light. I'm going to put you here because I trust you, and I trust that the kingdom of God is going to grow with you here. But the kingdom of God doesn't grow if we don't trust in him, if we don't put in the work ourselves. It's my challenge for you this week. The invitation is just as simple as the challenge. Riley and I the West Irwin congregation is home. But I sure hope that you know that just because you're here in a congregation does not change that our home is in heaven. And I want to see every single one of you there, whether I know you well or not. We're called to make disciples. We're called to get ourselves to heaven, to live our life in a way that we can have the hope of heaven. But also, I want to make heaven crowded. Those of you that know me kind of, or I want a shirt. If any of you make shirts, come see me after church. I want a shirt that says, make heaven crowded. I want a shirt that says, God, I trust you. But I don't want to just put it on a shirt. I want to live it. Church, I don't know you. You know a little bit about us now. But I do know that we all struggle. I do know that there comes a time in your life where trusting in God seems like a foreign subject. I know that there are times where the bills come through and you need help. Where the news that you receive is not the best. God, I know there's a decision that needs to be made at some point in your life where you say, I want to be baptized and put on Christ and live and work for him in the kingdom. We're about to have an invitation song, and during that time, if you need anything, prayers, a hug, if you want to talk, if you want to put on Christ in baptism, I ask that you come now while we stand and while we sing. Have you been?